Perek Chav Zayin. So, if you recall, in the previous time we learned in Perek Chavav, we had zig. You know, a lot of the whole shardal of zigging and zagging. So we had zag back to the superiority of Talmud Torah, and he had gone back to the notion, his whole metaphysical scheme of how there's all these elyonim, and how they trickle down, kind of like the shefa, and how Torah is above that. Okay, and that was one of the things that makes Torah, so to speak, superior. We saw that the only thing that keeps the world going is Torah, and he said at the end of Perek Chavav, he said even tefillah, as important as that is, but if there wouldn't be people davening, it wouldn't necessarily kind of explode the world as opposed to an absence of Torah. So picking up on that theme, he continues the ode. Zos yisera erech v'yitaron kedushasa hanora'at miha'olamot. And another reason why Torah's superiority over the various olamos alyonim, ki ha'alyonim af shekedushasam rabba ma'od, even though there's obviously a lot of kedusha up there in upper spheres, amnam kasher neshtal shalu v'yordu derech eshtal shalus v'hadragot atzumot. As they filter and make their way down, the trickle-down effect of the kedusha into this world, hagam shebecha olam nitztayer v'nechtam bo kol sidrei ha'olam shemei alav bid muso kitzalmo mamish ki yadua, right? Because who doesn't know this? As it says in the Zohar, which we'll read the Zohar in a second. Namely, what's the this? That is to say that on the each world and each layer in this scheme, metaphysical scheme of the Shefa going from super duper Elyon to a little less Elyon to a little less Elyon to eventually make it to this world, how each world or each level is, an imitation and can show the form of the one that was before it. I probably look at you and say, oh yeah, you look like your mom. You got your mom, you got the fox chin, you got the the Gottlieb nose, you got the this eye, right? It looks like that. Because even though, of course, everybody knows that the worlds below, they are chakuk, v'nechtam, v'nitztayer, like the one that's above it. How does everyone know this? Because, of course, we're bekiyim in the Zohar, which says in Parshas Yisro, ta'ana kigavna dele'ela islatata minayhu. Just like the one above, so too is the one below. V'chein b'kulin almin, so too with all the worlds. Kulin achadin, da, bada, v'da, bada. They're all, in a certain sense, the same or connected, this to this, and this to this. So even though there is a, hadragat, there is different, descending, intensity until you get to our world. Nevertheless, there is an imprint that you can see. There is a likeness. Furthermore, it says in the famous work, Eitz Chaim, about the four worlds, etc. Ayin, Sham, fine. And then the Shar HaShemot, Perek Aleph. So all of that, though, notwithstanding, we're about to pivot. That was it's all set up for the pivot. Im Kolzeh, nevertheless, Eino Shavet, but it's not saying that it's really the same. At the end, despite the fact that you just spent, five lines explaining how really, really, really there's a similarity and an imprint made from the upper to the lower, it's still not the same. Eino shava v'doma klal erech kedushaso v'oro la'olam sheme alav. There's still a qualitative difference between, it's not just, your skin is a little fairer, or the nose is a little smaller or bigger than the parent, but basically you look the same. No, there really is a difference. Ach kol kach nit'avu, that the each lower world is coarser, v'nisma'atu mikedushasam, and there's a decreasing level of kedusha and light. Derech hishtal shalut v'hadragut ha'atzamot. Each time you get lower, you get lower. Ach b'zeh olam nasu chulin shar noagin behen minachol. Right. Think about it this way. Right. If everything we have in this world is a product of the spiritual energy and forces that are powering the world from above, well, then how come everything in this world isn't innately kadosh? How come it's not me'ila to use anything? Again, so we're trying to, so to speak, thread the needle. On the one hand, we are saying in this kind of metaphysical scheme that if you ask, the ontological, and metaphysical question, where does a table come from? So there is a Kabbalistic answer which somehow would describe how some Kedusha and some energy filtered down from the upper worlds and made it here. And then on some level, if you knew, if you could encode it, if you had the right, X-ray spiritual vision, you could see how, again, he didn't use exactly this term, but I've heard this, other people, how like everything in the world is a product of the Aleph Beis, and of the letters, right? So somehow somebody with super X-ray spiritual vision can look at this table and see, you know, the shins and the lamids and the chets and the spiritual DNA there, right? And yet, so that's mitzad echad, that's what he was saying here. And yet, mitzad sheni, he's saying, but fundamentally, it's not just less. In the less also became some qualitative difference. And if you'll say, well, this just sounds like semantics, you know, how would I know? What would be the way I would test that in the lab? He says, I'll prove it to you, because the table is chulin. If it was still qualitatively the same but less, it would be kadosh. But something in the less has made it chulin. Now, again, the reverse, you might have said, well, it's all chulin, and it's severed from above. He would deny that too. So that was the first part. No, there is some imprint, as I said, kayadua, as I said in the Zohar. But yet, and yet, there still was a difference, and that's why it's chol. And now that he has tried to thread that needle, now he can explain why Torah is different. Amnam, HaTorah HaKadosha, this is another way in which, as you know, this is building on, but differentiating from what we saw last time, there's another new way that we can say Torah is superior, even from the upper worlds. Because Torah is different. Even though the Torah is even one step above the highest of the highest of the highest of the other Olamos Elyonim, we already said the Torah is above that. So obviously the Torah has a very far way to go until it gets down to this world. And yet, in Kozeh, Kedushasa Harishona, Kamoshahub Makor Sharsha, Rashis Darka Bakodesh, Kedakai Kai, Gambazel Olam. That's the qualitative difference between Torah and everything else. It's not just that it starts on a higher place. We've seen that already. What he's now adding is that even though it has a further, even though, you know, the higher you are, the harder the fall. So it's true, it has a further way to go. And obviously there must be some dilution until we can, you know, digest it ourselves. But it's still, you know, there's a line, a very fine line between less but still kadosh and then chol. And whereas other things pass over that line at some point, even though I could still say, oh yeah, you still have, you know, the Gottlieb chin or whatever, you know, I could still see a connection, but still, you're already a third or fourth cousin. You know what I mean? It's not the same thing anymore. It's chol. The Torah, even though it's diluted, it never crosses over the line. It stays on the kadosh side. And that is a fundamental difference. Shekulam kodesh. V'asr linhog behen min hachol chas v'shalom. And that's why there are so many halachos, as he's going to mention, in which we have to have so much respect for Torah in ways that we wouldn't innately have for other things. So, for example, he says, "Hichmiru pifligur razal ba'on." Oh no, sorry, I skipped the line. I'm sorry. Kula kadosh also limbag minachol shigam hiruhor b'divrei Torah also b'mukom asam nutafim. Right? You can't even think about Torah in a very dirty and disgusting place. Furthermore, lezos hichmiru pifligur razal ba'on show. Chazal are very severe. And they're listening of a punishment. Amru, and they say in Sanhedrin and Perchelek, Shagam hu bichlal ki davar Hashem baza. Right, if a person is even thinking about Torah in a place that they're not allowed to, that's considered as if you disgraced and despised the whole Torah. But safe with the high cron, that pasuk continues in Devarim. He kares ti kares, right? Like a double lashon of kares. So Perusho Chazal and the Gemara explains he kares while mazet ti kares l'olam haba. So that's a very severe punishment. And for what? Even just thinking about Torah in an unholy place, in a dirty place. Haraya, you know, here I'm just filling in what is implied. But Haraya, says Rechaim Volozhiner, in essence, you see how holy Torah is even as it got filtered down to this lowest of worlds. And more examples, more proofs to this thesis. Amru, furthermore, we say, Ochei Sefer Torah Arum, Nikbar Arum Me'osom Esfari. This is the last Amud in Masechta Megillah. I know this because I'm not such a, I'm a big bucky in Shas, but every year we have one of the beautiful menagim in our shul on Purim night after people had heard Megillah reading and they went home to break their fast. We have a thing in our shul, a learning seder for fathers and sons, where we divide up Maseches Megillah by Chavrusa, Dach Beis, till the end, and then we make a siyum with a big sit-down fleishik suda. That's our, you know, we don't have like a chagiga, we're not a yeshiva. Some shuls still have chagigas, maybe one day we'll evolve and have some singing and dancing too. But there's no music, it's just, it's the music of Torah. We sit down, we have an hour learning seder with fathers and sons. Anyway, but so I am always the Messiah, which also means I get the easy job because I only have one omer. Basically, I just do. You know, that's all there is on the Flamed Beis. But this Gemara is in the. You know, I think at least three times I've done it with my son Aaron. We've done. I think the 3 years we've done the Siyum in our shul. So that's that Gemara, and the Gemara is talking about if you touch, if you with your actual hands, you touch the actual Torah skin, the Torah cloth. And the Gemara says if you do that, Nikbar Arum may also mitzvah. And the Gemara first says Nikbar Arum, you'll be buried naked, like really, really humiliated. And the Gemara says, well, that seems a little too far. And then the Gemara says, well, it really just means you'll be Arum from Oso Mitzvah. That you, by not showing the proper respect for the Torah in the way you mishandled it, so even though you may have been learning Torah, you lose that mitzvah, because that's how holy Torah is, that it requires a certain degree of handling. So that's yet another example, says Nefesh HaChayim, that you see that despite the fact that it's all the way down in this world, it has fallen as, or maybe even slightly further than that table did, from its high perch of Kedusha, right? The power and the energy had to come down. And the Torah had to come down. And yet, the Torah is so holy that we even have such halachos. Or yet another one. Not so simple to move a Torah from place to place. Right, this was a big shaila that came up in some cases. Even in my own shul, I had to make decisions in the outdoor minyanim during Corona. Like, you know, and I actually spoke to, not directly, but I wrote up a shaila with Mar Mikomos, and I had it sent to Rav Asher Weiss about, you know, at one point we were davening in an outdoor minyan. You know, it was going to be like in a park a few minutes from the shul. And could we bring the Torah out for landing? This is in the beginning of Corona. And Rav Asher Weiss said, we could do that, but we should bring it for landing or bring it right back. You shouldn't just have it out, even wrapped in a towel or something like that. If you don't have it on Kodesh, you shouldn't have it out. And it was sometimes inconvenient for people because when they would get to Vahib and Saron, then someone had to run back and get it. There would be a little bit of a delay. It would have been easier if we had it just there. But that's a halacha based on, again, everyone would not agree with that application, but the point is, there's a halacha that's like, even if you want to use the Torah, right, bring the Torah to a shiva house, these are all discussions. We wouldn't have this discussion about anything else. Furthermore, he says, parentheses, V'chein Amru, and he's now contrasting this to sharpen the point. Let's say you take a person who himself, a human being, has an neshama. That's coming from a very high place. And let's say this person, with his seichel and his good machshava, has decided to cleave to a certain midah nechona. No one says, as you're, you know, writing your spiritual diary and you're reflecting on, you know, maybe you've been working on your issue of savlanut and of patience, and you're trying to figure out how can I get better at X or Y or Z, you know, and I'm thinking about it. Is there a problem if you did that in the bathroom? Is there a problem if you did that? Who knows where? And the answer is no. Right, if you want to take the driest, most technical, quote unquote, non-inspiring things, negayim and olos, you can't think about that in the bathroom. So you see, there's a qualitative difference, he says, between how much kedusha we and how therefore how severe and how much respect we still have to take the Torah in this world, in contrast with even other good things which don't happen. So this is, again, he's just further strengthening his proof that despite the fact that there are parallel processes happening as we, you know, drip, 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 the kedusha of the Olam HaSalyon, which gives spiritual power and life to everything, we're not denying that, and then Mitzad Sheni, the spiritual potency of the Torah, which goes down, that there's a fundamental difference because the Torah remains kadosh, and you see all these examples where we have to be super duper careful and holy and respectful to it in ways that is not true about other things. Right, as that's a famous zohar which we've seen many times, even in this, which the Torah and Hashem are one. So even though it's true that we view the Torah as going down in level and level and level until it gets to our world, but that's all from our perspective. It's inconceivable. Right? So now he's kind of flipping it. And he's saying it's not only that it's true that the Torah remains in some innate sense the same as it was even on that highest, highest, highest of planes, but not only that, it's inconceivable, it would be scandalous to have even thought otherwise. Why? Because as we know, and everybody knows, the Zohar, that is that there is some equation, which we don't have with other things in Hashem, But kucha brichov araisa, chadhu, the Torah is in some way literally Hashem. If that's the case, as it says the pasuk in Malachi, and this is one of Rav Shechter's famous, most favorite pasukim. Rav Shechter quotes this all the time. Ani Hashem lo shanisi. Right, Rav Shechter always talks about how that's why a shinui is usur, right? Reform, or I won't give more controversial examples, but certain things that he thinks which are a shinui. Again, in all seriousness, and he's quite aware, it's not so simple. What's a shinui versus what he likes to call is a chiddush? Chiddush is allowed, shinui is not. What's so problematic, again, what's on what side of the line is obviously not always obvious. But not notwithstanding, if you, for the sake of our conversation, the only thing that has to be acknowledged is there is a line. If there is such a thing as shinui being usher, what's so bad? And why is that like kfira and you're not orthodox and da 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 da? So Shach always quotes this pasuk in Malachi, Ani Hashem lo sanisi. If there's an equation between the Torah and Hashem, and Hashem himself, through the mouth of the Navi, has declared, I am unchanging. God doesn't evolve. God doesn't get more or less progressive. God is who he is, and he always was and always will be. So if that's the case, lo nishtan hakadusha. Memela, in Shachter's example, the content of the Torah can't change. But in Rav Chaim Volozhiner's example, therefore, Memela, the Kedusha can't change. He thinks that that's one and the same. Therefore, if Hashem doesn't change, Kain, next paragraph, or at least in my book, it's next paragraph, Kain HaTorah HaKedusha, Af Ki Yoradov V'Nishtal Shlo Derech HaDragot Rabot Atzumot, even though it is filtering down, layer by layer by layer, many, 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 many layers. Im Koza Hilo Nishtana M'Kedusha Sa Klal, and again, whatever external forms change, obviously the Torah doesn't look in this world the way it would look if we could somehow get access in the upper worlds. But its innate composition is not diluted in the same way the other things in Kedusha are diluted. Because the other things, by the time they get to this world, are chulin. Because they are not one and the same. They are derivatives. They are, you know, products of Hashem and his Kedusha, but they are not Hashem himself. Only Torah is the Atzmuso of Hashem. Therefore, Ani Hashem lo shanisi applies to Torah as well. In Memela, the Torah, even in this world, remains Kadosh, and it's impossible to have been otherwise. Kasher Haisa ba'amana itar yisbarach b'makor shorasha. Kind of a very beautiful poetic way of saying it. Just the Torah in this world is on some fundamental level the very same as it was when it was being nursed, cuddled, like a loving mother or like a loving nursemaid with the baby, so to speak, when the Torah was up on high with Hashem. So even though the Torah has changed, and again, clearly there has been some level of change in form, but the essence has not changed at all. And just like God is no less in the bathroom than he is anywhere else, right? And just like, therefore, there's no place that God has not found. Memela, now based on our analogy, there's no place that the Torah is any less kadosh, and that explains the various halachos that we have seen previously. That is from a objective, ontological perspective, true. Nevertheless, you might have asked, right? I didn't even think about this at first. That's a good kasha. If you're telling me that Hashem is the same as the Torah, and you tell me that Hashem is not excluded from anywhere, so why should the Torah be excluded? Why should they not bring in the Torah? If you tell me that Hashem is in the bathroom, so why can't I bring the Sefer into the bathroom? The answer is, because that's true from God's perspective. But from our perspective, there is an Isser, Laharher, and to bring the Torah there. Kimitzideinu, Badaye Shilik Vashini Mekomos, Kmoshin Adbayar Shom Ba'orech. Right? I guess Shah means the Zohar. Let's just finish the paragraph and finish the so that we can process it in a minute, but I want to make sure we get in the last few lines. Ava Torah HaKadusha Ba'atzmusa, from the more objective perspective, God's perspective, Lo Nishtana B'Sibas Yiridasam K'dirsav Archeon. It didn't change at all. Rak Shetach Einenu Meiros Otsam K'dirsav Archeon Panimi. The more it gets filtered, the more, from lever to lever, the more obstructive our eyes are going to be to see its true essence. That's why the metaphor is open my eyes. Keep MS, Kedushas for our Torah, Kedosha, Hem Pnimius Sitrea, the two Pnimius of Torah, Hemum Farashem, Minagam, Irem, Kedushas, Orem, Alion, Kasherhu, they are actually still there in the Torah, even that's in front of us now. Rakshaynenu, and Yichos, Lisbol, Otem, Kedushas of Orem, Kasherhu. But we can't see that, right? We are, you know, we like just, like, you know, we need this, you know, we need those glasses. If you went to the eye doctor and they give you the drops, right? You can't see. The sun's too bright, so you need the sunglasses, or you can't go outside. So we can't, in our world, see the Torah. And because from our perspective, we're limited, that affects, in certain ways, the way we view Torah or are allowed to operate with Torah in places. But you shouldn't confuse the fact that from God's perspective, objectively, if you want to know the truth in this kind of metaphysical scheme, the Torah has not changed even as it comes down. And then this, again, coming on the heels in conjunction with Perek Chavav, this is yet another way of formulating the superiority of Torah, not only over things in our world, that's obvious, but even over other super-duper spiritual and high things. This is yet another testament to the unique singularity and superiority of Torah. Okay? So, Yemirat Hashem, we're going to learn again on Tuesday. Is that the plan, hopefully? I mean, on Wednesday, hopefully?